Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Saturdays on Carolla Digital. Reasonable Doubt with Mark Garagus and Adam Carolla.
Yeah, Reasonable Doubt. Best hour
best
on
hour,
the pod.
Best hour of the week.
I love it.
It's best hour in the pod. I agree. And best hour of the week.
You know why it's the best?
Why?
Because I get to talk to Mark Garagus.
And I get to talk to Adam Carolla. And we cover, I mean, there is nothing we don't cover.
Every Saturday, enjoy it.
Also available at podcastone.com and the Podcast One app. Reasonable Doubt, every Saturday on Carolla Digital. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, New York Times best-selling author Don Winslow, with Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects, plus a review of The Big Sick in Hooray for Baldywood. And now, women want him, men want to be him, and gay men want neither. Adam Carolla.
But bi's fear me. Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. I know it sounds like so much window dressing, but we mean it. You're the only reason we're here year after year. We love that about you. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
You're gay for saying that.
Happy Straight Pride Day, everyone.
Yeah. Oh, they have that?
They sure do.
I don't think it's very.
I'm hitting the streets, man. Where's the party? All right, Don Winslow is coming in as an author, New York Times bestseller. His movies get made. I mean, his books get made into movies by Oliver Stone and now David Mamet, and these guys get hold of it. I'm so jealous. You know, I'm never more jealous than when someone explains to me that their book has been optioned three or four times
again,
and they never make it. They just keep re-upping. So it's essentially like you created this product 7 years ago or 11 years ago. You sold it. You got paid. Maybe you got a little bonus for selling more than you thought and what have you. And then at some point, Tom Cruise's company bought it and they optioned it. And there you got $100,000 or $500,000 or whatever it was. You got it. And you said, okay, Tom Cruise's company, you have a year or 18 months to think about this or to make a move on it or start putting it into production. And if you don't, then I'll get it back or you can reoption it. And 18 months came and went. Nothing happened. And he said, I'll now be taking my novel back. And they said, no, we've decided to re-up this. And they give you another $100,000. Yeah. And then the same thing happens again. Yeah. There's nothing better than that kind of money. And by the way, that kind of money, it trumps other amounts that are much greater, but that are, I had a restaurant.
Right.
It took us 11 years to build it up, and then we finally sold it. And okay, that's fine, but this is free money.
Yep.
And it's not lazy money. See, the weird thing is I don't like handouts, and I don't like free cheese from the government. I don't like any of that, but I love this money. I don't know why.
You made the product.
They're benefiting from a vagary of the industry, which is things take a long time. People, you know, put a turnaround projects and such. But hey, if you're the beneficiary, you worked hard, you made a great product.
And it's also their prerogative. That's the other thing. Tom Cruise, him and his company have decided that we would like to re-up this. That's the part where the government mandates that Cruise re-up on this. That's the part. That's where I have a problem with.
That'd be a weird law. Now being debated.
Don't kid yourself. We're getting there.
Yeah.
They were this close. All right. So I was having this thought. I was telling Gina Grad on her morning program that we were talking about the 4th of July. 4th of July is coming up. What are we going to do for the 4th of July? We can all explain what we're going to do. Brian, I don't want you to do it because it's going to ruin my time.
Better that I don't.
Better that you don't. It's going to be very on brand. Is it not?
There is going to be one specific part that's going to disgust
you. I sit in a folding chair in my backyard, which is poolless, and drink a lukewarm wine cooler. It's not Bartles and James. It's Bobby and James. It's a generic wine cooler.
It's exactly that.
That's of a melon you've never heard of.
It's exactly
that. How about
that? But the opposite.
No!
It's the opposite of everything you just said.
Going to ruin me. You understand? Remember we're talking about free money?
Uh-huh.
Remember talking about how hard I fought to get to this
yes.
place? And how Brian has to undermine me yeah. with having a much better time than I'm going to have,
quality
even though
life.
Yeah. I could buy and sell him 10 times over.
Option him a dozen times.
By the way, when you can buy something, it's implied that you can then sell it. Yeah.
I could buy
that custom van and sell it.
And then I'd be stuck. Yeah. I could buy you and be stuck with you for the rest
yeah.
of my life. Like an albatross around my neck.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, Gina Grad... Yeah. What are you going to do?
Well, this is kind of exciting for me. I'm sort of aggressively chilling. Like, I'm kind of keeping the slate open.
Good.
We
yeah.
are going to, I go once a summer because that's all I can handle, but it's going to be fun. We're going to the Hollywood Forever Cemetery. Little Dirty Dancing fireworks combo.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. They're showing Dirty Dancing.
They're showing Dirty Dancing. There'll be fireworks after we did it with Jurassic Park.
Oh, is this at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery?
It is. We do
what
picnics.
What compels you to do that?
Well, because we don't have to wait.
Oh, that's a big
that's
one.
That's how it's done.
That's
oh,
a big
there's
one.
No, there's a line.
Oh,
Christ, it wraps around the cemetery.
There's other mental. I mean, there are yeah. other folks that.
It used to be
want
a
to engage
fun.
In this?
It used to be kind of a best kept secret thing. Now it's a circus.
It's gone mainstream.
It is gone.
So we're doing that.
Saturation.
We're gonna
August
spend most
says
days
it's
at the beach.
Coachella syndrome.
It is.
It used to be underground,
yep.
and
everyone knows about
it's,
it.
Yeah. It's Coachella synesthesia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then we're gonna kick it at the beach. We've decided, Tim and I both. He's working a lot of hours. I'm working a lot of hours. We've made the pact to just spend some time together and hang out at the beach and have a good time.
All right, Brian.
I'm having a very anti-Adam Carolla few days. Not anything against you, just things you would never do. Christy is flying back from Germany that day on Saturday. She's spending a few days in Germany for work. And I will drive down with Tessa to LAX, pick her up, and go straight down to Orange County where we'll spend a few days with the in-laws.
Mm. I don't think he's too jealous about that.
No,
I'm
lots
angry.
Of, but
I'm
lots of
jealous.
Things that you
I'm
wouldn't
angry.
Do.
Right.
You know what I mean? Nothing spiteful.
You guys, I was just talking to Dr. Drew 10 minutes before you guys rolled up. And I was like, where are you going? He's I'm going down to the Redondo Hermosa, wherever the hell the condo is. Laguna.
That's much farther.
Laguna. He's going down to Laguna. I said, great. Then I said, where are you staying? Oh, the condo. I said, the condo your parents bought? Yeah. How much would they pay for that thing? $67,000 in 1968 or whatever it was. Uh-huh. We think it's worth now.
Oh, boy.
Two and a half.
Two and a half's a little light.
Yeah.
Really?
Knowing the area.
Yeah.
I'm just close to the beach, if not on.
He said it's waterfront.
Oh, yeah. My God.
He said it's in the water. That's what made me mad.
We're underwater on this property.
So what are you doing?
Well, hold on. I don't want to be a one-upper, but... The place we're going is Christy's grandparents' place. They've passed away recently, and they bought it. Gary, I'm going to need a little backup on this, because it's on Balboa Island. I don't know if you guys know much about that, but
familiar with
I think they
existence.
Bought it in like 79, 1980, for somewhere in the neighborhood of $150,000. You know, big money back then, $200,000 maybe.
Sure.
How far from the water?
If so, well, two houses. Two and a half houses.
Okay.
If someone offered them $3 million, they wouldn't know what to, they'd laugh.
Now, is that Christy's family now?
Yeah, her grandparents lived there for the last 25 years of their life and then passed away. And now it's, their place. Yeah.
To Brian.
Mm.
But it was a good financial decision, in 1979.
I haven't had, my parents, sadly, are still with us, but when my mother-in-law passed away, it was announced that in order to sell the shack she was living in, we'd have to put a new roof on. Oh, I remember that. I remember that exciting. I remember exactly where I was when I heard that. It was electric news.
In order to get this off the books?
Yeah. It's exciting.
Well, we just heard Tim's friend, his father owns a ton of property in Rancho Palos Verdes. I mean, just a ton. And he's talked to him about, he's an old, in his 80s. And Tim asked him one time, how did you come to own all this? How did you know? Because this was out in the boonies. Nobody cared about that property. And he said with a straight face, because he was totally serious, when we moved here 65 years ago, Inglewood was too expensive.
Wow.
So
Inglewood was a
to
nice area.
Yeah.
But back, way back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the city of champions.
Well, the Jews moved in.
Yeah.
All right.
And you?
So it does an opening act.
Well, I'm this is good. I'm glad it, people are so ambitious. You know what's weird is there's a I think it's a good thing to a level, to an extent. People are aggressively pursuing experiences that they never did in the past.
I agree with that.
The past, when you were, you know, 30 or whatever, and you didn't have a lot of dough, and what are we doing? Like, we're getting a 12-pack of Strohs. We're going to the park. We're going to lay on our back. That was about it. You know, there was occasionally, once every blue moon, you'd go to Vegas, and there was occasional, Toto's playing at the Greek. Occasionally. But it was not every other weekend or every weekend aggressively pursuing, they're doing a micro beer fest, or we're doing a wine tasting,
Taste
or a
pub crawl,
we're doing a sushi, whatever. There is something, you know, Matt Fondelier, good canary for the coal mine, not that he'd fit. But if you ask him what he's doing every weekend, it's like, we're going here, we're going there. And stuff's affordable, and why wouldn't you? I don't know if it's the communication or the social stuff, the online stuff. I don't know. The word is spreading. I don't know how it works, but it's a general gestalt of, I may not have an extra bunch of extra dough laying around, but I'd like to enjoy my life, so I shall pursue it.
Yep. And it's more attainable now. Like back then, when you went to Vegas, you know, that last minute trip, you were maybe staying in a hotel room, probably sleeping like in the lounge or the lobby, you know what I mean? Yes. Catching a few Z's here or there. Like now it's $49 hotel room and pack, you know, six guys in there.
Well, speaking of obtainable and fun, exactly. Caesar's Palace, man. Have you been lately? It is so nice. Newly renovated rooms and suites, the Monte Cristo bar, the cigar bar, with the walk-in humidor. And the rare whiskey selections. I grew up around many humidors, but never walk in one. Sportsbook with the 143-foot HD LED screen, biggest on the strip. The Who's playing at the Coliseum. Check that out. Gordon Ramsay's opening a place coming up a little bit later this winter. Lots of good food over there, man. Go to Mr. Chow's and get the duck. So good. Special room rate now through August 31st, just for our listeners, up to 25% off when you use the promo code Adam. Use the promo code Adam. Book it before it ends. The offer will end July 14th, but you can book it through August 31st. Mm-hmm. Let's get going. Our live pod is sold out, but if you're around on the 13th, you can come say hi to us. I think we're on Cleopatra's Barge, I think, where we're playing.
Let's see.
Yeah. All right. It is, Caesar's Palace. And speaking of barge, Gina knows where I'm going with this.
Good. Okay. Real good.
Here's my power move, man. Are you ready for my power move?
Let's hear it.
So 4th of July, I love getting out to the beach on the 4th of July. And I do know some folks that rent some houses along the coast. And it's one of these things where it's like, it's exceedingly expensive depending on how big you go. But you get a house along the coast, you rent it for the summer, costs several thousand dollars a month, and that's your summer place. And it's cool. It's a nice way to spend summer. It's beautiful. And so I'm going to head over to Bill Simmons's place over there. I think he's got a summer rental over there. We've done it in the past. And I was talking to his wife at the Father's Day softball game a few weeks back over at Kimmel and the UCLA girls softball field.
When you play in your ballet slippers.
Played my slippers. my cleats disintegrated like Forrest Gump's leg was braces when he was running. Being chased by racists in a pickup truck.
Run out of breath.
I cannot tell you other than the bottom of my cleats completely disintegrated down. I was just wearing the shoes Peter Pan would wear. That's what I was wearing out in center field.
Little booties?
Yeah. Yes.
Because they were high top, and there was nothing but leather on the bottom. And eventually the flap started hanging off the leather.
Hey, anyway. Jackie Robinson could do it.
Yeah. So, I said, she said, 4th of July. We'll see you on the 4th of July. And I said, fantastic. I love Carrie, Bill's wife. She's great. And, but she said, what do you think we want to do for food? What's your suggestion? We're thinking about having it catered. We're thinking about a food truck. I said, well, PCH and food trucks, that's a little tough. That's a fast highway.
It's
got to pull in. And she said, you can pull in the driveway, but still everyone's got to file out into the front to pull in the driveway. And we stopped, and I thought, Let's go big time. Let's go food barge. Pull
sail up.
Burger barbecue barge.
Yes.
Just a tugboat. Just push it right up to the sand. Good. You wade out in your trunks, your board shorts, yes, and your bikinis, and you go to the food barge.
And it's a real showpiece. It would make the neighbors a little bit jealous. It's kind of like when you get fajitas at a Mexican restaurant. Like all of a sudden, the sizzle and the smell. Everyone's looking at you like, damn, I should order that.
This would be like a swim-up buffet.
Yes.
Yes.
This is a way to really play a flag.
They have... Now, what they will have is the fireworks barge.
Yep.
You will see it way off in the distance, and the tugboat's pulling it along, and it's trucking along, and it's trucking along. Why not the food barge? There's a lot of people out there. I think Beyonce and Jay-Z are out there now. They're staying at a house that's like $400,000 a month, whatever, but they don't have a food barge. It's the ultimate power move.
Yeah.
Having the catering is great. Everyone having the truck is great, but the food barge.
This is next level.
Anybody who's listening, any young entrepreneurs thinking about a food truck, let's go full barge.
Yeah.
Full
make
barge
sure it can
on
float.
This. Right. Just push it right on up. And it'd be perfect. I think if you pushed it right up against the sand and just anchored it there, there'd be a version of getting your food standing on terra firma, but there'd also be the swim up. You carve in a little swim out, you know, little bar with the seats. Oh, fall in love with this food barge idea, people.
See, it's like, what would you rather sell, a million beers for $1 each or one beer for $1 million?
All
you
gotta do,
you know, just go for that food barge. It's a limited audience, albeit, but once you get that score.
4th of July, 2018.
Sale.
Remember my coffee table book, What Black People Think We're Talking About? This is going to go in that book.
Why can't this be the subtitle of this podcast, The Adam Carolla Show, What Black People Think We're Talking About?
We got real problems here. We got to go out and deal with food trucks.
The food truck can't fit down BCH to the rented home.
That's right.
On the beach.
That's why we need the food barge. Daniel, 23, Fresno.
Adam Carolla, get it on.
What's going on?
Hey, I was just wondering if you ever thought about this. You drive down one of these main streets here in Fresno, Blackstone, and there's like 20 mattress stores. There's so many. And they're always empty.
Yeah.
And do people ever go to a mattress store, wake up one morning, and say, I'm going to get a new mattress?
Well, this is very 23-year-old of you, Daniel, because it's the same face I had on when 5 years ago, and I would talk to Matt or Gary, and I'd be like, well, your home phone. We don't have one. You need a home phone. No home phone.
Well, why?
We got a cell phone. Well, yeah, I have a cell phone, but you have a home phone. Like,
maybe you're not understanding a landline.
You got to go try out a mattress.
Yeah,
I forgot. Nobody would know who's going to do that anymore. Just go online, go get the thing, shows up at your door, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
it's a
like
generational
vibe. Are probably going there all day.
Yeah, there's something that's always really weird about when you would go to the mattress store, which is you and your honey bunny would have to lay down.
Yeah.
Now, you didn't have to simulate sex, but if you really want to test the mattress out, you test the mattress out.
You'd ask the salesperson to take a walk.
Yeah, you just what I do. Or, just please turn your back to us.
Or don't.
And tell them done. But, just laying there motionless on your back staring at an acoustic ceiling is not a way to test the mattress.
Nope.
But, yeah, you'd have to lie down in your clothes and kick your shoes off, whatever it was. I got to tell you, my buddy Daniel, other Daniel, Daniel Kellison, lived in walked me through Soho and walked me through the $50,000 mattress store.
Oh, yeah.
They have the $50,000 mattress. I'm totally convinced that's just so people can say I spent $50,000 on a mattress. I have the best. It's a $50,000. There's nothing that a $1,200 mattress couldn't get you, but okay. And we walked through the store and I said, lie down on it, lie down. And it was like, start off as a novelty. But of course, the salesperson didn't look at it as a novelty.
No.
He wanted to make a sale. But we had a problem. And I'll tell you about this problem. It's the same problem I had later on or earlier on with the stereo salesman guy. The guy at a certain point said, I love it. I have one of these in my apartment. And I said, it's a salesman at a mattress store. And I was trying to kind of kick some box springs, you know? And I said, do you own the store? No. I said, a manager? No, it's a sale. I work sales.
Commission-based sales rep.
And I'm like, so they gave you a mattress to try out? No, I paid pay the full freight. I was like, I started thinking to myself, well, how do you afford? I was obsessed now with the fact that this guy, even if they'd given him a 50% discount or whatever, who's spending $25,000 on a mattress? Like, I couldn't wrap my head around it. Somehow became too big a distraction. And also, like I always want to say to the sales guy, if you have one, then what am I doing with it?
What makes it so special for me?
Yeah, you work at a mattress store. I got two shows on TV. Why should I have your mattress?
But he was absolutely lying, right?
I have no... I take everybody, except for my buddy Ray, and sometimes Lynette, at their word. If you say it, it happened. Yeah. That's just the way.
He was probably given
and
one.
And Ray and Lynette don't lie. They just have a version of what happened. That somehow...
The funhouse mirror.
Helps them somehow. But... Sure. But and whatever anyone says, I tend to believe.
The luster comes off when sales guy says, same one I got.
Yeah.
Well, now it's funny. When I was poor and I'd go into the stereo store and the guy with the name tag would go, I got this baby in my apartment and it kicks ass. That was something to aspire to. Later on, when I became a rich guy, the same guy would go, this is the one I have. I'd go, well, I don't want it.
A little bit.
Right. Daniel?
Yeah.
How's Fresno treating you?
Hot, crazy hot. It was in the 100, above 100 all last week.
Well, yeah, Fresno. Fresno's one of those places that gets hotter than it should.
Yep.
And I'm going to make a list of places that get hotter than they should. Because
Sacramento's up there.
Yeah, yeah. For us, it's up north. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's got to be cooler. Yeah, right. It's up north. It gets crazy, nutty, novelty hot, and it's way up north. Is it because it's inland too much?
And I think the elevation is low.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Other questions over here. Someone wants to know if I've ever taught Sonny to ride a bike. Tony?
Hey, what's up, Ace Man? How you doing?
Yeah, man. As they would say in the great song, CB Savage, that's a negatory, good buddy. I've never taught Sonny how to ride that bicycle.
You haven't? Oh, man. I got something for you. And shout out to Brian and Gina and... Not to be weird, Gina, I saw a tweet from you the other day, and not to be creepy, but you're looking healthy lately. You're doing really good with all the fitness going on.
Definitely creepy. Looking healthy.
Come on.
Thanks, T.
No, I get it.
I appreciate it. It's hard work, so thank you. That means a lot.
It is. You're doing a great
job. She's looking good, but she's looking healthy.
It's weird, but I appreciate
it. She's like about to die.
I think he's trying to work a sort of nutritional Vinnie Tortorich kind of angle here. Not the creepy healthy.
But culturally, in other cultures, when you say she's looking healthy, that means she's looking
big,
filled out, curvy and big. Thick. Yeah. So thick. Thank you, Gary.
Yeah.
So it just depends. Depends on.
You're looking crazy fine. How's that?
I like it.
Now you're talking.
Good.
Thanks,
hella fun.
Yeah. Cool. Well, hey, you haven't been able to teach him yet, huh? Okay. So here, kind of.
Well,
like
it's not that I haven't been able to, but the time I really made a concerted effort, he literally started welling up. And I was like, all right. Yeah. And since he got on the yoga ball the other day, I was sort of like, all right, that's something.
Baby steps.
It'll be a transition from here to the bike. And also, I don't care that much about really anything. I think Brian will say that about me.
I think everyone who listens to the show can
jobs
that.
Coming and going, ending everything. I just
family, it's like, showing affection.
Yeah, just look. Here's what I will do with everything. I will put it out there and go. Here's what I'm willing to do for you, and here's how I'm willing to try to help. And if the answer is not interested, then I just walk away.
You're not a helicopter parent.
I had a nephew.
No, he is not.
I had a nephew that was a douche. He was a douche from I don't know 7 to 11 or something. I don't know. He's going through a phase. Yeah. And, I'd come up and say hi to him, and that's what I was doing. He was weird and standoffish and whatever. And then people started giving me advice. You have to come down to his level. Mm-hmm. You have to, I said, or
find,
not.
Find common ground.
Or I can hang out with my rich friends and drive my cars and wait for him to stop his douchey period.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I did.
And here we are.
And now he's nice.
There we go.
Okay. What did I have to? I didn't. Why do I need to be coached up? He's being a douche. That's his prerogative.
You have to keep living your life.
Yeah. And also let him be a douche if that's what he's choosing to be. I don't have to break through to a douche to get to what? The douchey nougaty center? But it was a phase because he's a kid. He's allowed to go through this thing. And
who he is.
And also,
douche or not.
I don't need to project everything back onto my screen. It's like he's being that way. That's his prerogative. And I'll just walk over here and pour myself a drink and you just be douchey over there.
Yeah. You come talk to me and you're no longer douchey.
Yep. Thank you. Tony?
Yes, sir. Right. So yeah, so I don't have kids myself, but I've taught all my nieces and nephews with this tactic, and it's kind of like you teaching people how to drive a manual vehicle. This I've found has worked over and over again. So what you do and what you have to do is get the kids to be able to understand kind of the balance, but also the pedaling. So what I do, the best way you can do this is find like a gentle sloping hill. Okay. Mm-hmm. And put Sonny's seat all the way down on his bike.
Mm.
Start out at the top with him, with his feet being able to touch the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And have him slowly start going down the hill with his feet just dragging.
It's just a waste of my time.
Could be just a waste of his time.
Definitely.
I like it.
No.
This makes sense. It's trust.
This makes perfect sense. You're right. The pedaling, yep, versus the balance and all that kind of stuff. The problem is I like where your head's at. I'm thinking about some stuff. The grade that I would have to fit that Sonny would sign off on the grade. He ain't getting near the Widowmaker, yeah, or Pike's Peak. And other than that, it's just going to be Salt Flats. Like I'd have to build a street. I'd have to make a street for him.
There's a nice bunny slope.
The perfect solution is a bike that has a handbrake on it. So,
yeah,
because a lot of the kids' bikes have like the push back pedal.
Yes, I got it.
He can control the speed. So, like, once he gets going, those wheels, and you know this, Ace, from racing, the centrifugal force creates balance. So, actually, speed is his friend.
What are you talking about?
No, I got it. Tony, what you're saying makes sense. It's break it off into two parts. Yeah. And you're right. You work a handbrake, put your feet out by your side like they're pontoons, and you slowly coast down the thing. All right, there goes a Saturday. Let's
see.
Used to talk
about things that sound better than they are. You know, things have euphemistic names and titles or whatever. Road rash.
Yeah.
Like, it was reminding me because I did the bike on a hill thing once with my mom up or vacationing in Tahoe or something like that. And I was going down a pretty steep hill and I hit the back brake, you know, put your foot back brake.
Right.
Bike, I was going pretty fast and I slammed on it and it turned me sideways and I got scraped up all over. It's pretty rough. But it was road rash. I got road rash. Like, no, yeah. I'm cut all over my body and it really hurts.
Yeah, yeah, it's like I road apples or something like that.
Yeah, strawberry or raspberry or whatever.
Yeah, road apples is horse crap. Yeah. Like, yeah, there's a lot of road.
Yeah, yeah.
The road stuff is mostly
unpleasant.
Euphemistic. Yeah. Yeah, if they put road in front of it, it's bad.
Road rash. Oh,
but not the head.
Road head. Yeah, ooh, true.
Hey, it's weird that road head is a blowjob, but bedhead is not a blowjob.
Very much
it's
not.
Like, it's like they want the name Roadhead, but Bedhead was already taken. Are you sure we can't have Bedhead?
Go to the car.
How am I going to talk? How would one talk to a foreigner about our language?
It is confusing.
Hey, Gary, did you say our guest was here when we pulled up? All right, just put it in the thing because it wouldn't.
I'm sorry, I should say it.
Yeah, I got it. All right. Let's see. A couple more calls, and we'll break a little early. We'll bring our guest in. Let's see. Guy, that's interesting. Sean, 32, Fresno. Fresno.
Back in the no-no.
What's going on?
Yeah.
Oh, Baldywood. Yeah, sorry.
Earlier you were talking about Fresno. It is hot, but I feel it's a good place. Not too big, not too small. Good place to raise a family.
Okay.
But anyway, I moved into
an apartment complex in a transition mode, saving to have a wedding, and then after we're going to get out of
the apartment. Yeah,
there's a guy.
Your phone's breaking up a little bit. So the question is what?
So there's a guy here that lives a couple apartments down that he completely treats his apartment like a home. He tore out all the landscaping, put his own plants in. Mm-hmm. He put the screen door on the front. He lays down with the lawn chair on the little patch of grass. I thought it was really funny.
How dare you?
I kind of find it weird, but
I agree.
I don't know.
All right, I'll put you on hold because you're breaking up a little bit. But I'll give some. I have thoughts. One of them's I think Gary chronicled in 50 Years We'll All Be Chicks. I think this guy's illustrated, or at least this guy's close cousin is illustrated in Guys I Couldn't Hang Out With. Because it's not this exact behavior, but there's part of making the apartment complex your home.
Making it feel sort of permanent.
This guy's illustrated.
Give
Gary will look for it. Let's see if it's in 50 years will all be chicks. I think it is. Anyway, I think it's under guys I couldn't hang out with. First, I'll tell you about LifeLock, and then we'll give our thoughts on this. A study found identity thieves use personal data in an average of 9 minutes from the time they get it. And someone's identity is stolen every 2 seconds. I don't like those odds, people. Your identity can be stolen in ways you may not be able to detect if you're just monitoring your credit. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats. If they detect your information, they'll send you an alert. And if there's a problem, their U.S.-based restoration specialists will work to fix it. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all business, but LifeLock can uncover threats that you might miss. I have it. The kids have it. It's unclear whether Philly Cheesesteak has it or not, but I'm going to look into that. The wife has it. We all have it. Why? We're online all the time. We're making purchases. Our information's all out there. Protect yourself with LifeLock. Dawson.
Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LifeLock and use promo code Adam. That's Adam for 10% off your LifeLock membership. Visit LifeLock.com and save 10% now.
I can read you off the guys. I'm not necessarily seeing one that would fit.
Well, if it's on there, then it would fit. But, all right, read me off the guys.
Weird facial hair guy, my wife's my best friend guy, I don't own a TV guy, guys who announce they rescue dogs, the guy who wants to know how you got your cold, the I've never drank guy, the guy who swims before work, the guy who acts so gay he's thought of as a chick and thus gets out of all heavy lifting, rockabilly skull guy, the guy who tells you what caffeine does to him, panties in a bunch guy, and lazy flip cap guy.
Oh, well, then this must be in another book.
You've become swim before work guy.
That
in a way.
That's wildly out of context. I'm just got a swimming pool, and I float, and I go from one end to the
get
other.
My cold temperature down.
I'm a 30-second cold shower guy because it's too. And I don't swim. I essentially flail. But I lower myself in a frozen body
of water. I project myself from one end to the other repeatedly, but I'm not swimming.
Let's go to the Y guy. Trying to think. I do draw a distinction between do it in your own pool and go to the Y guy. I don't know why going somewhere angers me. Yes.
This does mention the Y and all that if you dig down into the paragraph.
I take it back.
Well, let me hear the description of that guy.
Sure.
I swim before work guy. Dawson, you hate this guy? Dawson hates this guy.
This guy is always bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. You didn't think your hangover could get any worse? Try standing next to the guy who never felt more alive.
This is Adam Crowley.
No matter how early the job starts, he finds time to squeeze in 600 or 700 laps over at the Y. This asshole never misses an opportunity to let you know he's a superior person. Now some dialogue. You. Wait a minute. Didn't you go to the U2 concert last night? Him. That's right. I didn't go to bed till 1:30, but I still got up at 4:45 and hit the Y. You. If I stay up till 10:15 beating off to blame it on Rio, I'm calling in sick the next day, you prick.
You don't blame it on Rio?
Sure don't.
Oh, man.
That's why I was checking it so hard. I thought it was going to say blame it on the rain or something.
Blame it on Rio, man. Early titty movie from the 80s.
Not Russ Meyer, is it?
No.
Okay.
No. This is a big budget.
Oh.
Big release.
Indeed.
Michael Caine starred in it.
Okay. Oh, I sound familiar now. Okay.
Narrowed it down to 421 movies from the 80s.
Sure.
It was a regular, theatrical, guys show up at the movies release. It just had some nice boobies in a Rio there Beach, and that's all we had back then. All right. I have, not Robert Loggia, but who's that other guy?
He's that guy. Yeah, he's in everything.
Demi Moore's. I forgot about Demi Moore's.
Young Demi Moore. Oh. Lord.
All right.
Remember that pilot with Joey Tribbiani? Was his real name? Top of the Heap. He played his dad.
I know what you're talking about. I don't know why, but I know what you're talking about. They play like an Italian family.
Yes. It's a Married with Children spinoff.
Yeah. All right. Oh, Joseph Bologna.
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Now, Gary, you can see if that's in one of my other books, but I don't know how you found it. Anyway, guy treats his apartment like his own house guy. This dude, who I've passed on the way to this studio, the apartments have the very small little swatch of lawn on the front, mm-hmm. and this guy's sunbathing on it.
Yeah.
He's taking his beach towel, he spread it out, sometimes even wearing a Speedo, and he sprawled out, I mean, well, next to the driveway. Who is that guy?
And speaking of sprawling out there, I understand the limitations of an apartment, but the balcony should not be like excess storage. Like, that should use it for a balcony.
Not a closet.
All you have to do is go to that. That's how you know what apartment you don't want to live in. When you see all the kids' toys out
spilling
there.
Spilling out, barbecue.
It's yeah. super depressing tableau because you're seeing all the kids' toys shoved out there. Mm-hmm. It's a storage locker. It's open to,
it's
the,
open
public.
To the public.
It's like
yeah.
everyone gets to see. It's like if they took those public storage units they have off the freeway mm-hmm. and just put clear Lucite on it
no.
so you can see what an incredible loser you are. It's that, and you drive past it and you go, oh, God, by the big wheel count, they got seven kids living in that house. Like, they see the Barbie's dream house. It's been yeah. shoved. All I think about is the poor kids
yeah.
and how depressing it is. And then there's the makeshift clothesline that the railing becomes.
Sure.
They're hanging
yep.
out,
yep.
hanging out the
Park.
Towels. And they, oh, God. So the guy's doing the sunbathing on the lawn. Got no time for that guy. I lived with a guy below us named Al. And Al was the manager, and he kept the whole apartment up, but he was that guy. Like, he had his own rolling big sort of hose assembly, you know, the kind with the wheels on it and the big pack. Hoses used to be something. Like, there was a time when people would steal car stereos.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do that anymore.
Had my car stereo stolen.
There was a time, and this happened to a lot of people, they would siphon your gas. Oh, you had a locking, had to get a locking gas cap. Someone would drop a hose in there, start sucking it, get a little positive pressure going, and steal your gas.
Sure, you get a mouthful of gas, but you got a gas tank full of gas,
right.
too.
There were times when if you left a big hose thing out front on a spool or yeah. whatever, that thing would be gone the next morning. I mean, in the wrong neighborhood it is now, but this stuff that wasn't all cranked out of China and almost free at Costco. Stuff would go, tools, anything. If anything wasn't bolted down. This guy, remember Al, had thick glasses, had a dog named Skipper, walk around with a beer koozie. You know when that thing where you hang on to something that's not worth anything for way longer, like where you couldn't read Coors on the beer koozie anymore because his hand had worn off, like
right.
the 89-cent item that he'd had for 26 years? Like,
it's someone a part of his identity?
Yeah.
He's walking around, had his hair like the wrong style for the 80s, and he's walking around with Skipper. And I remember once I went down to his apartment and I said, can I borrow your hose? I want to hose off my whole back porch. I'd lived there for like 2 years. And he's like, what hose? And I was standing in his back door, looking through the screen door in his kitchen. And the hose was sitting in the kitchen on the spool with the wheels and everything.
Chained to the radiator.
And he was trying to use his body to block it. Like, I don't have a hose. He was like one of those things that age, like my grandparents with the Tupperware. Like, I'm going to get that hose. I'm going to sell it on the black hose market. I'm going to start a new life in Mexico. That's my plan. Like, where am I going with your hose, Al? I live above you. Like, what do you think? There's going to be some dispute? Oh, what hose? Oh, no, I put that back in your apartment.
I'm pretty sure I dropped it in the mail slot.
And I pushed it through the chimney when you were at work. Why? Is it not there? Oh, this extra $61 I have on me? That's nothing to do with the disappearance
yeah.
of your hose.
Ask your roommate what happened to that hose.
I'm going to buy a really expensive tie clip. Do you want one? And some swizzle sticks that are made of pewter. Anyway, not with your hose money. He was like trying to block it. I said, the hose that's behind you. Can I borrow that hose? He's like, I'll do it. Super suspicious that I'd make his hose, take off with his hose. But that guy who lived in my first apartment below me, also, Al was one of these guys. I don't know if you guys have run into the blue collar dude who does this. I used to run into these blue collar guys all the time. Sort of like Mike, the guy missing the teeth covered in cement. We used to go to the Chinese food place, and it's a long story with Mike, but this guy, Al, he was 54, wore a lot of pomade, had like horn rim glasses, wore the same windbreaker. Worked like at Lockheed or something, had his old scroungy little dog Skipper and lived in this apartment. He was the manager and walk around watering after he went to Lockheed all day. But we had, I'm looking at a picture.
Is that him?
We're looking at a picture of Al
right now. It's not at all what we described. Oh, it's exactly what we described.
I mean, his hair is like he's an extra in the Lords of Flatbush, but this is 1985, if you could imagine. Yeah. And he's walking around in the wife beater, and he's got the guy. I mean, he's out of central casting.
It's like Harvey Keitel is a time traveler.
Yeah, you can go to adamcarolla.com and see what Alex. He was out of central casting, this guy. And we moved out and had a lot of guys that liked the ladies. And we had a fold-out sofa bed. And one of the legs that was supposed to fold down and hit the ground was broken. And it, like, sat up off the ground. Mm-hmm. And I had plenty of friends that would have lots of vigorous sex on that thing. And so all night, all I would hear would be bonk, 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 bonk. Because the thing was sprung off the ground.
Just once you wanted a tender lover.
Yeah. So Al got which way the wind was blowing. Lots of action. Going up and down.
Lots of bedhead.
Yeah, a bunch of 19, 20-year-old chicks running up and down the stairs all night. And at some point, he came up to the apartment. He's like, hey, she sent one of those gals down my way. And I thought, how's that conversation going to work? You know what I mean? Hey, Cindy, yeah. As a 54-year-old guy from the Lord's Flatbush, I need you to blow him.
Long story short, I borrowed a hose.
Yeah, I borrowed a hose.
Do you like hoses?
Yeah, let me tell you something. Nothing is free. Nothing. Even borrowing of hoses is not free. So let's get going now.
Promises are made.
Hey, we're wasting time. Let's go now. I don't know. Like, I don't know if he was just saying it. I'm sure he didn't think anything would ever happen. I think it was like, I'll be hip. Young and hip. I'll be, you know, I'll be the cool neighbor.
On our way out the door. Hey, I'm going to need to borrow that hose again, too. So
hose for hose.
Oh, Al. He'll be missed. All right. Let's see. Our guest is here. We got a Baldywood. Let's see. I'm going to blow through our last two calls, and then we'll get going over here. Cokie, 37, Atlanta.
Hey.
What's going on?
Hey, man.
What's going on, Cokie?
Gina, Bald, looking great.
Hey.
Really quick, two things. I've been listening to you for a long time, and there's always, I know everything bad about living in L.A. I'm moving to Redondo Beach next week. I'm actually going to be driving out over the next 3 days in my car, coming back here, and then doing a road trip with my wife and son.
You're going to Atlanta.
I want to know.
Yeah.
Can you say my wife again?
Sorry?
One more time for us. Say my wife.
My wife.
There it is.
Good enough.
All right, go ahead, Cokie.
Yeah, so a couple of the best things about living in L.A. from your perspective, maybe being in the Redondo Beach is a little bit different than up there where you guys are. And also, just tip for long-distance driving, man.
All right.
Cokie, you're going to love Redondo. We're going to be neighbors down in that
South Bay.
Yeah, you're
in Manhattan Beach, right?
Yeah, and it's a really lovely a part of town to live in. I think you're going to be happy. A really good school system. I think Redondo High is one of the big ones.
Yeah, and look, if you have money... the problem is you can't do anything about the traffic. But if you have money, LA's great. I would go to Laurie's and have some prime rib if I were you, Cokie.
That's great.
What's your nationality? You're a big guy?
I'm Puerto Rican, man. I'm probably one of your few Puerto Rican fans.
Yeah.
But you know my accent. I can't get rid of it, man.
That's good. It's good.
I've been living in the States 15 years, and I still can't say chip, chip. Chip or chip. Those are four different chips, man.
What?
What are the words you can't say?
Exactly. Chocolate chip, one. Something is inexpensive stuff.
Cheap.
Another is
chip.
A boat.
A ship.
Another is a boat, yeah. And another is an
just
animal.
Get my nanny's,
sheep.
My nanny's from...
Chip, chip, chip.
Chip, chip, chip.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cokie, you're the best.
You're so self-aware.
It's you know the thing, man, that's weird about you know what's weird about you people and all foreigners?
Oh, you people, I love that. I love
it's only 90 minutes show.
The rest of the troublemakers is my nanny from Guatemala, who speaks very good English. My wife's friend Jody, she's Yodi. And the reason I say it's a name You know what I mean? So your name is Cokie, so I just call you Cokie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And if it was Kirk, I'd call you Kurt or Kirk or Curtis or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's just your name. It's weird that you can't do a name. Yeah. For some reason, I give you a pass on foods and things like that. But it's like, her name is Jody. It's like, Jody.
I said it.
It's just Jody. That's her name.
It's just hard for us. Can you roll your R's? Hey, ra, ra.
Ra.
Ooh. Ooh.
There you go.
Yes.
That's probably your Italian roots or something, but So sometimes we cannot help it, man. It just doesn't come out.
Well, that's why we're number one.
Anyway, long distance driving. I have to drive 36 hours in 3 days.
I would load up with our podcast and all the other wonderful podcasts from the Corolla family podcast. And let's say you wanted to learn about a celebrity, a luminary, one of the founding fathers. Let's see, trying to think, who's the most famous person from Puerto Rico? It's got to be Clemente.
Yeah, or Cokie.
Yeah, Roberto Clemente.
All right, you want to learn about him? All right, there's somebody you want to learn about. Then get a book on, get a cassette,
Jennifer
or get a download the tape or whatever, you know, the audio file, and listen to that. Or do Dawson's. Dawson got a million books,
learn about
man. How about Don Winslow's book,
The Force.
The Force, a novel. Do all those. God, I was trying to think of, I had this conversation, I don't know why, as long as I'm going full xenophobe, I'll keep going. I was sitting with, this is a weird realization, I don't know much.
You can stop there.
Yep. about the world around me, but I was talking to Guatemalan nanny Olga, and I said, I got a question. Who's the most famous Guatemalan? Like the most
worldwide?
Just the person that is brought, I don't know, maybe it's an inventor, maybe it's a poet, maybe whatever. Not a politician. You can't tell me who the president was when you're growing up or something, because that's just every culture has its own leaders.
Unless it was a Marcos or someone
famous. A luminary.
Someone who transcended just, you know, that country.
Yeah, yeah. Margaret Thatcher probably transcends and Ronald Reagan transcends. But just give me Obama transcends. But give me that person.
I could reliably name a famous Guatemalan, Gina.
I'm not a famous Guatemalan.
Well, I would never put you guys on the spot.
Thank you.
But if you grew up in Guatemala with your family.
Right, but if you said famous Panamanian, I would know at least Duran, Roberta Duran. Yeah, or, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know if we can, even one comes to mind for the average person.
No, it does not, but we didn't grow up there. So I'm asking the person that grew up there, and her answer is like, she's thinking of like a politician. And I said, no, not a politician, because you have to have politicians.
Yeah, yeah.
Every country, failing or not, has politicians. Someone famous who just you're Thomas Edison or whatever. She's like, I can't think of any. I was like, nobody, like I said, a prize fighter or a poet or something. It's like, not really. And I was like, wow.
This is from a list of famous Guatemalans. The first one I recognized, it's an actor who's in Inside Llewyn Davis. Brian may be familiar with him. I'm not.
That's it.
He's
Oscar Isaac's born in Guatemala. You know what? He's the most famous Guatemalan, at least in America.
He was in Star Wars?
Yeah, he was in the new Star Wars. Oscar Isaac's famous. He was in Drive.
That's sad.
Yeah.
That's sad. I mean, here's the thing.
He's a famous actor.
The United States would get to 2,000 people before we got to any actors. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying most famous. I mean, contribution. Yeah. Impactful. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's insane.
Founding father.
And I was a little bit sad that she like had no, didn't even know why I was asking. Yeah. I was like, shouldn't there be somebody, right?
Did you say, well, you know what? Welcome. We're glad you're here then.
No, I told her to hurry up with the egg salad she was making me.
Just from the mentions on this podcast, Olga's got to be in the top 50.
Jethro, Madeira, what's going on?
Yes, sir.
What's going on, Jethro?
Man, gang.
Yeah, man.
So Gina knows I'm both of Jewish and Mexican ethnicity, and both cultures. When one says healthy, it's not necessarily a good thing. I had to explain that to my girlfriend because aunt said, "You're looking at your girlfriend. She's looking a little ill."
Yeah, she's too thin.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, we're going that way with gifted at a certain point too, right?
I don't know if we're there yet with gifted.
We're getting there.
I'll tell you what, though. I described someone.
I don't. I don't know. Weird thing. If you tell me about a 9-year-old who's gifted, I'm going to be a little worried for some reason. It used to be, he plays the harp. Now it's like, oh, he's got.
Oh.
What are you? Because everything's
like,
a
like special.
Yeah, everything's a euphemism. Okay. Yeah, we've turned everything into a euphemism.
Sure. Special
because
is
everything
there.
Is euphemistically sort of named. You're like, you have a special child? Are his needs special, mm-hmm. or is he gifted? Is he have a special gift?
Special
are he gifted
him?
Special needs?
I mean, he's like a comic book special or helmet special?
Well put. I was hanging out with some couple of friends of ours, and we're having drinks, and I described one of our taller female friends as statuesque, and all the girls in the room were horrified. I'm like, that's a compliment.
They should get over it.
Love, that's like Charlize Theron.
That's another word that is, I think, it's going the wrong way now. Like, that shit, that's a compliment.
He's tall.
I agree. I think when people protest too much with that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. they're in a weird way admitting their own ignorance.
I think you're 100% right.
On a
well,
quick
then you
side
know you're 1,000% right.
Do you think Jethro the Mexican Jew would be a good child's book?
Yeah.
I'd read it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of matzo ball tacos.
He enjoyed gardening and gouging. Those were his two hobbies. He wasn't a gaucho, he was a gouger. Go ahead.
Who'd illustrate it, though?
It's your finest work?
Yeah. Anybody, because anyone can do a children's book. All right. you have a question?
First of all, Ace, man, let me tell you, Ace, you are the probably 40% of the reason why I'm relatively successful. I met you in 2001 at one of the local radio stations I was interning at, and I told you that I wanted to be rich and famous just like you. And I don't remember the exact quote, but you said, well, good luck with that in this market.
And look at you.
Look at you now. You're on the number one podcast.
That's right.
Hey, I'm doing pretty good for myself. I'm happy that that you opened my eyes to the glam and glitz that was the Central Valley radio market.
Question.
But now I am in a conundrum, and being that Adam and Dr. Drew both basically raised me.
I'm
love
waiting.
Mm-hmm.
My girlfriend, she's talking about moving out of state to get her graduate degree, and I'm wondering if this is the time to ask her to move in, or let her move away, or offer to pay for her school so she could stay.
Ooh.
That's kind of where I'm at right now.
Is she moving to a place where she can, like specialized programs, she can only do it at that place, or can she do it in more than one place?
She can do it in more than one place. The thing is, though, is that right now the program she's going into, the school that she's going to, is actually providing a scholarship for her. Mm. So they're going to be paying, so her school is paid for, 50% of her housing, so it's much cheaper for her to go out of state and do this. But with my work right now, we're ratcheting up. I just opened up a new, we're breaking ground on a new warehouse this week, or not this week, next week. So in July, we're breaking ground, and I'm basically going to be sleeping on site for the next, year.
All right.
But
it'll be, when you're breaking ground, it'll be the Jewish side of you that's in the three-piece suit and the chrome hard hat mm-hmm. posing for the picture with the shovel. But the part of you that puts the shovel into the dirt and turns over the soil, that'll be the Mexican part.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a very strong shoveling acumen.
Yeah, uh-huh. People are made to shovel.
Science.
Hey, I can't give you a great answer here other than the one you think is the best, because if you talked to me back in 2001, you should be coached up and your antenna should be facing the right direction and it should be tuned in.
Feel like it is, and I'm it's one of those things where it's like I'm almost positive what you're gonna say, but I want to be wrong.
Do you think she'd resent him if she tried to
don't keep her from realizing her goals?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, and if you move her in, keep in mind the clock is ticking on the proposal mm-hmm. at that point.
Plus
it's already ticking now, but it goes into double time when you move them in. I might want to sit down with her and lay options out.
Yeah, really
ask her what she'd like to do. There's nothing, I don't know why nobody thinks the easiest route, which
doesn't
is just
have to be
go
shrouded
ask
in
them.
Secrecy. Yeah.
Yes, I agree. All right. Sorry, Baldywood. Let's just keep it for Monday show or Sunday show.
We'll do it soon.
We'll do it soon. Sorry. I just got too yappy here. All right. We'll bring in Don Winslow in 1 second. First, Geico, man. Everybody's got the to-do list. How about we add, save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance, and you don't have to even leave the house. Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Just hop on the computer, go to geico.com, spend a couple of minutes, and see just how much they could be saving you. Put that extra money in your pocket, or put a down payment on the burger barbecue barge. I love that idea. So go to geico.com. 15 minutes. Could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Don Winslow, look at this novel here.
That is voluminous.
Says he writes 10 to 12 hours a day. Oh, my God. So he did tons and tons of research on policing. And I'm going to talk to him. And we're going to talk to him all about that in the new book right after this.
Hey, everybody, this is Spike Ferrickson from Spike's Car Radio. We're out here in the porch of at the Malibu Kitchen at the Malibu Country Mart every weekend doing podcasts. My first guest is Jerry Seinfeld. He's right here. We're going to have Jeremy Piven. We're going to have Chris Hardwick. See you soon on Spike's Car Radio.
I think he's over-projecting for a podcast.
And I love to over-project for podcasts. Join me every week at PodcastOne.com and Apple Podcasts.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
This week at AdamCarolla.com, Take a Knee with Adam Carolla and George Shapiro.
I've had pain in my life, and I lost my mom. I loved her so much when I was a teenager. I lost a wife to cancer. There's a lot of pain, and you have to experience it and embrace it and know that it's there, and then look at the great things that you have in life. Look at the things that you have, but don't turn your back to the pain, because we all go through pain. We all go through pain of loss, and you know, I experienced that.
Subscribe to Take a Knee with Adam Carolla for a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation. And get unlimited access to Adam Carolla's archives. Sign up for Podcast One Premium. Use the Podcast One app or click the link at AdamCarolla.com.
Well, somebody, Esquire, called one of the best thriller writers on the planet. Don Winslow is here. I'm looking at his new book, The Force.
It has some heft to it.
My God, how many pages is this thing?
I don't know, 400-something. I don't know.
So you researched this thing for 5 years?
Yeah, pretty much. I usually, you know, I write one book while I'm researching the other, so, yeah.
Do you, I was telling someone the other day, I've written a few things. I've never had writer's block a day in my life. I just get up and write when it's time to write. Do you find that's the same process for you?
Same process. It's a job. You know, it's a job I love. I'm so grateful to have it, but it's a J-O-B. You know, the only way to do it, get up and go to work.
And how does so walk us through the process. How does the notion for the subject that you're going to write the book come up? Do you have a bulletin board with a bunch of potential ones, or did it just sort of hit you?
Nah, no bulletin board. Just sort of hits me. I've been wanting to write this book for a long, long time, you know, and then finally it seemed like the time was right, and I had the chops to do it.
With all – did this one get optioned by Mammoth?
It got optioned by, I guess it's 21st Century Fox now, and James Mangold's directing it. But, yeah, I just found out David Mammoth's writing the screenplay. Which is,
wow.
Yeah, huh?
I'm so jealous. Is there an, you know, you kind of wonder if, like, when people have a few big pop hits and then they say, oh, now you're going to write your next album. And they always ask them, are you thinking about writing a hit? And they go, I write what I write. I write from love. But now are you thinking, I'd like a subject that could be optioned, or I have an eye toward Hollywood?
Nah, you know, I'm like 300 manuscript pages deep into the next book already. And it's a book I swore I'd never write. You know, I've written these two big drug books about the Mexican drug cartels. Each time I swore I wouldn't write another one. Doing it again.
I just heard something pretty horrifying couple things about the Mexican drug cartels. One is we gave them some software where they could spy. Mm-hmm. Basically, Don will explain it better, but we gave them some software and said, hey, look, this is only for law enforcement to spy on whatever.
And they were true to their word.
This is the Fast and the Furious, right?
No, well, that was guns.
Okay,
this is well. Tell us about both, Don. It's all bad.
It's all bad. We just gave the Mexican government a bunch of high tech stuff to listen in on phone calls and computer hacking and all that kind of stuff.
No more soup cans with yarn.
No.
No more glasses to the door. These take batteries.
Yeah.
What does that you say, my friend? It's called a battery.
Tell me more.
So, of course, the Mexican government's using it to spy on journalists, some of whom get killed by the cartels. So, it wouldn't shock me if some of that technology found its way out of the office and down to Sinaloa.
What's up with Mexico? Like, what's going on?
Look, we ship $62 billion in cash down there a year in drug payments. That's a lot of money.
Now, what do you mean drug payments?
We buy $62 billion worth of drugs every year. That's just the hard stuff. It doesn't count the marijuana. And so there's a lot of money down there to corrupt people, a lot of money to buy people with.
And I feel like once you go kind of narco state, it's really such a slippery slope. Like, how do you ever get – how does one regather themselves? Like, because you could go, all right, look – no mas. There's a new sheriff in town. No more payments. No more bribery. No more errands on the take. And then you'd get a bullet to the head.
Yeah.
And then they'd go on. How could they ever have? I mean, it almost has to be done like a surprise party.
You all want tickets to the Super
Bowl. Himself a surprise party. Maybe you have to get a whole bunch of people hiding behind furniture to jump out when the lights come on and yell, "We're sober." I mean. Where's Mexico go?
Look, the choice isn't between take the bribe or don't take the bribe. The choice is between take the bribe or take the bullet.
Take the silver, take the lead.
Exactly.
Right.
So the answer's not in Mexico. Can't be in Mexico. Never will be in Mexico. The answer's in the United States and in Europe.
What do we do?
First of all, we legalize the stuff.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Like yesterday. Right.
Right.
Right. Until the laws change, though, we stop buying the stuff.
Right, but how do we do that?
Well, that's a long, long answer. I mean, we could be here all day, But we'd be better off if we lined the DEA up at the border and had them buy it.
Right. It's interesting. So I'm with you that I don't believe you will create a black market for anything that people want. And you can tell them all day long, whatever it is. It could be drugs, but it could be Pepsi if you made it Pepsi. If you just tell them, knock it off. You could do it with cigarettes. You could do it with booze. We have. You just go knock it off, and a percentage of the society will knock it off. But a large, in numbers, group, with, and they'll let their dollars talk for them, will still keep going. They'll just do it in other ways. Yeah. And someone's going to make a bunch of money off it, and it's going to be the people we do. It's not going to be the March of Dimes.
Right. Listen, I'm conservative enough to believe that there are some problems there's no solution to. You're right. There's going to be a certain percentage of people who are going to do dope, are going to want to get high. And that percentage, by the way, never changes very much.
Right. So let's give the money to whomever and not the cartels.
Yeah, but right now we're spending $88 billion, that's with a B, billion dollars a year trying to interdict the stuff, arrest people, and keep people in prison. So why don't we use that money for something else?
It's interesting to me because I would like to say to some of the law and order guys on the right who would be against, for instance, Chavez and socialism. And I'd go, socialism, right? Yeah. Can it work? And they go, no, it can't work. It's not mathematically. It just won't work. It's an idea that sounds like it might work. It can't. And you'd go, right, you make fun of those people, right?
Right,
I go, yeah, they're idiots. It's not going to work. And I go, what you're doing with drugs is the exact same thing. It'd be great, but it's not going to work. It never will work. It never has. Right. And all it's doing is killing a bunch of people. Yeah. So what are we going to do?
If you had a friend who was banging his head against the wall for 50 years, right, all the time, and then complaining he had a headache, what's the first thing you'd tell him? Stop banging your head against the wall.
Right.
Right? We've been at this thing for 50 years, the war on drugs. Drugs are more plentiful, more powerful, cheaper than ever. And last year we had our greatest number of deaths. 62,000 people died of opioid overdoses in the United States last year. It ain't working. let's do something different.
Hold that thought. I want to say this real quick. I had this thought, which is I try to tell anyone who's listening who is in the legislature of state of California, which is whatever regulations you're putting up for this business or the film industry or whatever gouging you're trying to do with your tax base, not going to work because business guys are smarter than you are. You work for the government. Obviously, you're imbecile. And the business guys are business guys. They're not in the business of losing money. Then you go, well, why won't GM open a plant here? Because they're business guys and they're going to Mexico or they're going to Atlanta and they're filming a movie. Whatever it is, it's never going to work because they're smarter than you and they make money and that's all they do. The drug cartels, they're the ultimate business people. They're super ultimate. It's like a Mark Cuban got together with Zuckerberg and made the ultimate
the bottom line
ultimate business guy monster. And you can go, hey, we got to beef up the border. They'll build a submarine. Yeah. Oh, we got to intercept them on the seas. They'll do it in a biplane. They will figure out a way because they're the ultimate business people. And now that I think about it in a weird way, it's the purest form of business.
It is. Look, they're IBM. The Sinaloa cartel is IBM. And they make corporate decisions. When they were losing money on marijuana, they decided we'll up our production of heroin, make it stronger and cheaper, undercut the American pharmaceutical companies. And that's what they did. So a dose that did cost $30 now costs $10. It ain't submarines and catapults and tunnels. That's small change. 75% of these drugs come through open gates. They come through San Diego, Laredo, El Paso. El Paso, you have a tractor, trailer, truck, Adam. It comes in every 15 seconds. Most of the drugs that come into this country come in those trucks. There's no way you're going to control that flow. You can't do it physically.
Well, follow-up question then. Some people snicker at the idea of building the wall. Will building a wall help? Will that actually?
No. No, it will do nothing. It'll increase the profits for the cartels, the big guys, because all it will do is those open areas where some people are muling things across that a wall might help, right? Mm. Those guys are small players. All it's going to do is drive them into the hands of the big cartels that control the big crossing. So if, for instance, you think Mexicans are going to pay for the wall, you might want to approach the right Mexicans. Approach the Sinaloa cartel. They'd invest in it tomorrow. They'll chip in. It's a good business decision.
If your Coors and Budweiser, you're cutting out Sierra Nevada and Sam Adams.
No, that's exactly it.
Well, and you talked about 62,000 drug deaths last year. And when I think of drug deaths these days, because from where I stand, it's what is more in the media. I think of big pharma. I think of abusing your parents' opioids or whatever at a party. So what is the breakdown there between that kind of thing?
It used to be that. Nobody really knows, but no. Now what's happening is because Mexican heroin's so much better, in air quotes, much stronger, they're cutting it with fentanyl, which is 50 times the strength of heroin. You can die just being exposed to it, breathing it in. Something called cofentanyl, much stronger. So addicts who are used to shooting a certain kind of heroin shoot a certain amount that would be safe, get them high, but now it's killing them. So they're dying with the needles in their arms.
Oh, wow.
I have this thought, and I always just kind of I try not to break the world down like I'm living in it right now with whatever regulations were put in it while I'm here. I just try to like go, what makes sense? And it's my Bill Belichick approach to life, which is I believe Bill Belichick, anyone who has their team play Bill Belichick.
It's Guillermo Belichick.
I believe that every one of his decisions is based, and rightfully so, on what would the other team not want us to do the most. Because
right.
There's so many times, you all know that team, you all know that feeling when your team is playing that other team, and they're on like the 44-yard line, and it's like, it's fourth and about half a yard.
They've elected to punt.
They're going into punt formation. You go, good, because they would have done it. Belichick goes, what do you want us not to do? Uh-huh. We're doing that. Yep. And if you think about it, in a weird way, it's kind of the best approach to his game. You don't want us to punt? You want us to punt.
Guess what we're not doing.
If you want us to punt, we're going for it. Yep. That's how they do it. And they just do it all the time and they win. And I think if you said to these drug cartels, what would you not like us to do the most? Build a wall? I don't care about that. Beef up the border at the San Diego? You can. How about we legalize drugs? Oh, Now, don't do that.
The bottom drops out.
Don't do that.
They'd be jumping out windows.
Model. Right.
You know, worst day in mafia history was the day we repealed
prohibition. They don't even have two-story buildings, by the way, just into the yard. But still, the front, symbolically.
That's right.
No, they've built some big buildings, man. There's a lot of money
what would the drug cartels not want us to do the most? Legalize.
Do that.
And then we'll do that because they're the experts.
Yeah.
And we'll do what they don't want us to do. We'll go Bill Belichick on their ass.
Look, three states legalized marijuana. The cartels stopped growing it. They can't even afford to irrigate that ground, right? They just gave up. Screw it. We're not doing it.
Right. You mean supplying to those three states or just the three states was enough?
The three states doing it, right? Now they can't keep up with the homegrown product
in terms
of quality, transportation cost.
Right.
Again, these are business decisions.
Sure.
So they made a business decision. Stop planting marijuana, guys. We can't sell it. We can't compete.
Right.
So, you know, unfortunately, they replaced that with poppies for opium.
Hmm. I got to tell you, I wish I'd get back into the chiclets business, selling on the streets of Tijuana, not to transfer.
Low profit margin.
I was hearing stories about, you know, hey, there's poppy fields all over the place, and I'm sure we'd like to eradicate those, but the government's not going to eradicate them. If there's ever anything you could eradicate, be an open field in the middle of everywhere.
A big target?
We did it. We did it in the 70s. We dropped Agent Orange in Mexico on poppy fields. They went into the cocaine business. When the cocaine business started to play out a little bit, they went into the meth business. So you can chase this coyote around all you want.
So we're basically, it's the film industry and Hollywood and us wanting to tax the crap out of them. And they go, all right, we'll pick it up and we'll go to New Mexico and shoot Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Yep.
Speaking of tying the drugs in.
There you go.
But the thing, because they're business. They're smarter than, you know, they're not only smarter, they're desperate. I mean, what it is we have a bunch of people that are going to get paid whether they eradicate the cartels or don't eradicate, whether they eradicate the poppy fields or don't, whether they bust X amount of kilos or they don't. They're just getting paid. These other people, their life is depending on it, and you'll never beat those people when their life is depending on it because there's no weekends or holidays for those people. And we just, by nature, sitting in an air-conditioned office, not working on a Saturday, looking forward to the 4th of July, and we're never going to beat them. Not as long as they're motivated. And they'll never not be motivated.
It's the chicken and the ham and the omelet. You know, the chicken's involved, the pig is committed.
Right.
Right. Exactly the analogy you're using.
Right. Right. We're involved and they're committed.
Delicious.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Weed's legal in Denver, and I went on their omelets,
too. Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah.
The omelets on the menu.
All right. I'm curious on your thoughts on policing as it pertains to this country and some of the nuances discussed. And I want to – we've done a lot of research on that. I want to discuss that. First, I want to tell you about Blinds Galore, man. 4th of July sale starts this week, up to 50% off everything. Their biggest sale of the year, and it's ending soon, so hurry. Before the sale ends, that'll be Thursday, July 6th. Let's get going. 100% custom-built window treatments made to just the order you want. Expert customer care team's going to help you every step of the way. They've covered over 2 million windows, probably 90 of my windows. I have them at the house. I have them here. Especially I have them at the other shop and the edit bay, especially when it starts getting hot out there, man. Keep the sun out. It's going all greenhouse on your butt. Blinds Galore. BlindsGalore.com. Let them help you get them custom shades you've always wanted and at a real solid price. Don't forget, check them out during their big 4th of July sale. Get up to 50% off everything. That's BlindsGalore.com. And let them know I sent you. These are really good sponsors. BlindsGalore.com. All right, so Don Winslow, what are your takes on the Americans' police and the policing of their own citizens?
It's a complicated subject that unfortunately, I think most major
30
news
seconds.
Sell it.
Wants to turn into a 30-second soundbite. You know, look, I mean, I have a lot of thoughts about it. I think, you know, right now the police are under incredible scrutiny because everyone's a journalist. Everybody has a camera and we get these vid clips.
Right.
So have some horrible things gone on? You know, absolutely. Does Black Lives Matter have a point? Absolutely. But so do the police. I dedicated this book to 178 police officers who were killed just during the time I was typing the book.
Wow.
you know. So we need to take a larger, kind of longer look at these things than just two sides lining up and screaming at each other.
I agree. I first off, I just sort of follow the statistics. And statistically, the Black Lives Matter movement doesn't hold up. I mean, the theory of it doesn't work when you just break the numbers down of how many black people were killed, how many were armed, how many were unarmed, how many white people were killed or Hispanic or whatever, how many people were squeezing the trigger were white on unarmed black. So it doesn't work out mathematically. I mean, it's not a bad look. It's not a bad thought at all. It's just save more people. I just mean that their specific kind of open season on black people is, I feel like, agitating black people more than it is helping. But that's my humble opinion. You disagree with it?
No, I don't disagree, but I think it's a little more nuanced than that.
Yeah, you know, I don't have any nuance.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at numbers. But what is really disturbing me is a breakdown of rule of law. Mm-hmm. And it's a micro and a macro thing, but I'm now seeing, you know, almost daily footage of people duking it out in airports and on college camp in front of colleges and stuff with law enforcement out in force and present, which is back in the day, whatever it is you did, threw down, had a bar fight, got into it with the old lady, whatever it was never in front of a cop. I'm now seeing cops at airports pushing women who are trying to take punches at each other and the cop in front of the cops.
Yeah, it's crazy. But do you blame them for being a little reluctant to jump in?
Oh, no, I don't. We have put the handcuffs, or at least the zip ties now, on the cops. Everyone's filming them. Your career is at stake. And your career, here's what your career has come down to. I could sit in my squad car and keep driving. It's like that scene in The Town. Like the cop's sitting there, the minivan of full of nuns pulls up, full of machine guns and the guy looks at him and then slowly turns around and looks the other way. It's a business decision. He wants to go home to his family. If I were a cop, more so than being shot on the job, it'd be raked over the coals of public opinion in a long drawn out. And could you imagine riots and fires and looting and stuff with your name leading the newscast?
No, listen, I write about it in this book, and I talk to a lot of cops about it. And they are getting, no hideous pun intended, gun-shy, you know, and reluctant to get involved. Part of it's a problem, though, with the way we do policing now.
Yes.
You know?
That led to this.
Well, that's it. I mean, look, a lot of the more forward-thinking cops are actually looking backward now and saying, you know, back in the day, we used to be patrol-oriented. Right? Guys were out there. Women were out there. They knew the kid on the corner. They knew that guy. They knew who was trouble. And they know now, by the way, you go into these precincts, thousands of people live there. The cops there will identify for you the 70 or 80 people, individuals, that caused 90% of the problems.
Right.
It's the same folks. They know who they are. Right? Mm-hmm. But now we police mostly by response.
Right.
So something bad happens. The cops come rolling in. They don't know who the people are. They don't know what the risks are. The people there don't know the cops. And then we wonder why bad things happen.
Well, it's like I always said, or I've said a few times, our cops here don't do anything unless you tell them there's a gun involved. So somebody got a laptop stolen in Pasadena and said, oh, the guy had a gun, because they wanted the cops to roll on it. And then the cops roll up, and all they know is somebody's got a laptop and he's got a gun.
Yeah.
And then they shoot some kid who never had a gun.
Unconscionable. Unconscionable to make that kind of call. But sometimes cops make that kind of call so they can go in. You know,
I blame the cops, because the guy who has his laptop wants it back. And if you live in L.A., you know the cops are going to tell you good luck. As a matter of fact, you tell in L.A., you go into a precinct and go, I got my toaster oven and my big screen TV, my stereo stolen. Not only are they going to tell you we're not looking for it, they'll also explain to you you're never going to see it again. Then they go back to doing their job and you leave the precinct.
Yeah,
this guy wanted them to roll on it.
You know what you have to thank for that is the war on drugs. Because we put so much police time and attention into going out and making drug busts, drug arrests, at a time when a lot of jurisdictions, 40% of murders, 60% of rapes go unsolved. I would rather have cops working on those cases and getting your laptop back.
I agree. I don't know how to work a laptop, but
if you did, they could get it for you.
Well, is there such a thing as a politician who could be intellectually honest on this subject. And,
oh, yeah, they're everywhere.
And well, I mean, without going full Bernie Sanders, you know what I mean? Just some guy, look, we've been looking at numbers, we've been crunching numbers, you know, we're going to run this like a business, and this doesn't make sense, so here's what we're going to do. Is that a death knell, or is it impossible? Has anyone ever tried it?
Not to my knowledge. I haven't heard that guy yet. You know, I wish I would. I mean, look, these are not Democrat-Republican issues. These are not right-left issues. They should be pragmatic issues.
Well, yeah, they're going to be tough. They're going to be tough on crime, but they're being stupid on crime.
They're being soft on crime, trying to be tough on crime. They're ignoring the real problems and just doing shit that doesn't work.
Right.
Well, when you said, you know, being part of the community, getting to know who's trouble, who isn't. My boyfriend's father was a cop in Harlem for a million years, and they loved him.
Right.
And I think that made a huge difference. But I don't remember who the
chief is. She's dating a black guy, by the way, just so you have a context.
I'm not.
Pridefully.
Yeah.
No, I'm not.
Sorry. My last 7-year relationship.
No, I'm not.
No, I am not.
I'm sitting out of this. I'm leaning away from the microphone.
At this point, he's a nice Irish boy. That's the one we're on now.
Why do you have to bring race in everything?
God,
we were interested.
Who cares where he was a cop, yeah. Ryan? Do you care?
Harlem. Like,
what if it was in Ireland? Would you care?
Only white people live in Harlem.
I don't know why I show up every day.
Only white people live in Ireland.
Does Bill Clinton live? He lives in Harlem.
I'm pretty sure he has an office.
There's an office there. He's black.
My car just drives here every day.
All right, sorry.
He has an office in Harlem. He lives in Chappaqua.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah.
Yeah. A little different. Now we got to work the Indians in.
Right. So the broken window project or whatever it was called.
Broken window theory.
Right. Yeah. So that seemed to help a lot, yes? And can we do that now?
Broken windows theory, without getting sort of overly technical and kind of policy wonkish here, you know, the theory was if you had an abandoned building and someone broke a window, that other people would come by, see the broken window, and they'd throw rocks through the window, and then the building and the neighborhood goes down. So the theory went that the same kid who jumps the subway style is the same kid who mugs a lady in the subway. It had its effect, you know, and it helped get New York under control. But really, when you really analyze it, I'm not so sure. When you really analyze the figures of violent crime, you're looking at the percentage of males between 18 and 25. When that demographic goes up, violent crime goes up with it. You can look at those lines and they just – I know that's not useful on the radio, but they parallel each other pretty closely.
Well, that's who commits all of the crime. Yep. I mean, Mark Garagus's dad, who is a prosecutor, and as a former prosecutor myself, I can tell you.
The same language.
He said that, you know, basically, if you got rid of 18 to 25-year-old males, you'd have no more violent crime.
It's pretty much the truth.
That's pretty much it. Mm. And by the way, if you want us to not profile, don't have us know, everyone know this. This is what you do. You see a 20-year-old guy walking across the street, whatever color he is, and you walk on the other side of the street. And then we start doing an ethnic profile as well. The first profile look at the age and the gender. Those are the biggest things. All right. Shall we do a little? When might this? I love Mamet, by the way. Great writer. When might we see the force? And would it be called the force?
I hope so, but I'm the last one to know. You know,
yeah.
But a year or so. I mean, you know, Mamet just signed on.
Have you,
so, you know,
we'll have see. You had books option and then re-option when they expired?
Yeah, I heard you talk about that earlier. It's rental property.
Have you had it happen 3 times?
Oh, at least.
Oh,
at least. At least.
With
sorry.
The same property.
Sorry,
with
the same same property.
He's gonna go swimming in his book later today.
You're in the check cashing business.
No, not that much. But yeah, I've had a few. Yeah, you know.
What is the average time?
27 years or something. No, I don't know. I mean,
but in between the option the first time they have amount of time to.
Yeah, it's usually 18 months, and they usually have the option to renew for another 18 months.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
You know what I'd do if I got that to happen and it was got to be about 17 months? Mm-hmm. I would show up at the office of the place that optioned it and disrupt things. What are these pesky calendars hanging everywhere? Get rid of it. Get rid of it. I'd turn over things. I'd knock staplers off.
Great stack
get
of papers.
Busy down
whoops.
There. And they go, what was I doing?
Not important.
Just let the time tick away. Here we go now.
You work on these paper clips.
Who wants some peyote?
Oh, is this the option renewal office? Not going to go there.
I actually opted out of a few of them.
What?
I took them all back.
What? Why? Why not just hammer the check?
Is it better offers?
No, because I wanted control. I never realized how bad it would hurt, as my New Orleans grandmother would say, how bad it would hurt to see a really bad movie made of one of your books. It hurts.
What was the baddest of the books?
The book was called The Death and Life of Bobby Z, and the film was Bobby Z with the late and very nice guy, Paul Walker. But it was, you know, not a good film. And so after that, I took a lot of my stuff back so I could get more control.
Oh, Paul. Oh, that movie. Yeah. Wait, when did that come? Well, it couldn't have come out
in the last year.
Huh?
I have no idea. Never heard of it.
What year was that?
Been a while. I don't remember.
But not that long, right? No, I mean, Paul Walker was a relatively young guy.
Yeah. I don't remember the exact year.
2007, IMDb says.
2007. Yeah. How'd it do on Rotten Tomatoes? Uh-oh. All right. Don, hang out. We're going to do a little news with Gina Grad, and you chime in.
All right.
Let's do it.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Need news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, Donald Trump's war on the media took another personal turn Thursday morning with a Twitter attack on MSNBC morning co-anchor Micah Brzezinski. The president fired off a rant about Brzezinski and her Morning Joe co-host and fiancé, Joe Scarborough. He tweeted, quote, "I heard poorly rated Morning Joe speaks badly of me, parentheses, don't watch anymore." Then how come low IQ crazy Micah, along with psycho Joe, come to Mar-a-Lago three nights in a row around New Year's Eve and insisted on joining me? She was bleeding badly from a facelift. I said no. Scarborough claimed that he and Micah were there at Mar-a-Lago for a scheduled interview with Trump. Lawmakers immediately condemned the president's tweets as well. Republican Senator Lindsey Graham tweeted, "Mr. President, your tweet was beneath the office and represents what is wrong with American politics, not the greatness of America." And I believe that this started because Micah said that Jared Kushner was unqualified to be making decisions on behalf of the White House. Didn't appreciate that. Sarah Huckabee then came out quickly to defend Trump. Here's what she said.
Scarborough's got eyes that look like vaginas. That's what I like about
him. Sideways vaginas, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't notice that.
That's why I'm a fan. Oh, how can you not? Okay. Here we go.
And I think that the president has been attacked mercilessly on personal accounts by members on that program. And I think he's been very clear that when he gets attacked, he's going to hit back. I think the American people elected somebody who's tough, who's smart, and who's a fighter. And that's Donald Trump. And I don't think that it's a surprise to anybody that he fights fire with fire.
Fire.
He's the Suge Knight of presidents. And
well
I mean,
said.
Well put.
My thing, but the reason I say it's a Suge Knight is because you go, you're a gajillionaire. Just stay home. Why do you have to run over people in your Ford Raptor? Like, why are you doing it? It's like, because he has to. He's Suge Knight.
He's
and you're like, you don't get it. You have oodles of money. You're free.
Everything to lose.
You can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Why are you taking your truck and running over guys?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. I'm stopping this guy in the curb. I couldn't hear what you were saying.
I've really realized, like in life, like so many times, or Aaron Hernandez, you know, it's like you have a multi-million-dollar contract. Yeah. You're 22 years old. You're a star of the league. You're in the best franchise in football history. What are you doing?
You're 10, 12 years in front of you in the league.
I'm being Aaron Hernandez. That's who I am. I'm being Suge Knight. I'm Donald Trump. That's who I am. And they go, but you're the president. Knock it off. I'm Donald Trump first.
Yeah.
I'm the president second. I'm Suge Knight first.
Makes me.
And I'm a record mogul second.
Right.
Aaron Hernandez first and an NFL multi-million dollar contract player second.
Makes me long for the days when you on this show criticized Obama for filling out a bracket and saying you wish he was more presidential.
Having a couple beers with some people to work something out.
And or golfing.
Yeah. Which was a legit point at the time.
Yeah. Also, I don't know if you saw this, and it came after, and it's sort of good fun.
There's a slightly different spin I have on that, which is I don't like fun to have a beer with, President. Like, I don't look, that guy looks like a good guy to have a beer with.
Really?
I like he's all business, sir. Like, I don't
that
even.
Was like George W. Bush's whole appeal.
I don't like him. I don't like boxers or briefs. Mm-hmm. I don't like when kids call their school teacher by their first name. Like, he's the president. He's over here. I don't want to see him in sweatpants. The boxers or briefs thing should have never been
asked.
Don't
break the image.
For that 4 years, he's that person.
No crazy tie and saxophone on Arsenio?
No, I really, I don't, I don't, him having a sense of humor is fine, and him being great family, and everyone says he's a cool guy, like, it's fine, but I don't like the public part of it. I don't know if that's just me. All right.
Well, and sort of dovetailing into that, because we hadn't gotten around to it, you know, everybody's talking about this fake Time magazine cover that's in all of the, or in five of Donald Trump's country clubs with him on the front, and he's the best ever, and lots of exclamation points.
Oh, did he create that, well, or did he take somebody else's fake news?
Somebody put it. I have a theory that one of his yes men said, look, Donald, you were on the cover. And he was like, yay. But other people think, no, he obviously did that himself. But it's the way it's done. The design isn't correct. The red border is off. There should be a white line in between it. So this was people were talking about this. And then Morning Joe, those guys were talking about it. Here it is.
He put this on display at least five of his clubs. It was first flagged by a reporter. Notice the
Trump is sitting on our front, even TV.
Several exclamation points on the headline, something Time magazine doesn't do. The make-believe cover is dated March 1st, 2009, and highlights Trump's reality show, The Apprentice. Time magazine has since asked Trump to remove the phony cover. Phony. A phony, fake, pathetic made up cover of Time magazine.
Well, maybe she deserves it.
You know,
that's your boss.
She bleeding.
His promise is she's doing the same thing he's doing now. You're supposed to be a news person or something. Whatever the decorum was of, like, you're not supposed to be comparing him to Hitler and doing all that crap either.
But these days, too, aren't, you know, it's these really incendiary cable TV talking heads, and then the president rises above that, or
so supposed to. Yeah. They're both sort of fall. They're both just silly. It's basically, I don't want to go a whole dynasty on your ass, but this is two 50-year-old women duking it out in a fountain.
Slap fight.
It's a chick slap fight in a fountain. And you're like, sweetie, you're 47 years old. Have some lady fingers and an hors d'oeuvre and a cocktail. You're not supposed to be, oh, she's a bitch. Yeah, I get it, but you're having a fight in a fountain in the middle of this party, and you're making ass. You're both making ass. She pushed
it's Real
me.
Housewives.
Yeah, it's like, well, she started it. It's like, okay.
We get it.
We get that, but we're at a party. You're not supposed to get in the fountain and duke it out.
I'm sure you never did this because your parents would have had to many steps. Don, Gary, do you guys ever do the thing where when you were a kid, you'd go down to the fair or the theme park or whatever, you get your picture put on a fake Sports Illustrated Player of the Year?
Sure.
Yeah, it was
absolutely.
Like that.
Yeah. You didn't have to go to the fair. It was part of the baseball pictures by the time I was a kid.
Oh, yeah, see?
Yeah. I would look at that stuff at other people's house. Yeah.
You made the cover of Sports Illustrated.
Sports. Yeah, yeah. Eric Podley, Sportsman of the Year. Yeah. So says 13. Yeah, I remember. No, I remember going, like, where'd you get that? It's like, we got it down at Knott's Berry Farm. Like, where's that? How'd you get there?
Many barriers to entry to that.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Buena Park.
Yeah. If you ever made it into Knott's Berry Farm, you'd have to keep your hands in your pockets the entire time.
Don't
There's
touch
no
or look at
touching.
It's like being in a casino.
It was that, and I don't know, the one that would blow my mind the most was Spin Art. What are you doing? That costs $8. They take ketchup squirters.
Yes.
They squirt in no particular order,
and
then it comes out looking round and weird. It's like, that was $8. What would you? It's like, oh yeah, just throwing money away. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, we haven't touched on Otto Warmbier in a while.
Oh.
Yeah. Really, really sad stuff. He's since passed away. Of course, he was the student in North Korea that was sentenced to 15 years hard labor, and they say they sent him home early in a coma. So the Washington Post reports that the University of Delaware has cut ties with an adjunct professor who suggested that Otto Warmbier, the American student who died in Korea, was a clueless white male who, quote, got exactly what he deserved. Warmbier, a 22-year-old from University of West Virginia, was traveling there. He was arrested in 2016, allegedly stealing a propaganda poster from a hotel, and they had kind of a sham trial. He was sentenced to hard labor for hostile acts. Warmbier died of unknown causes on June 19th, a week after he was returned to the United States. They said botulism, but that didn't add up. Days later, in a now-deleted post from her Facebook account, she wrote, Warmbier was, quote, typically of the mindset of a lot of young, white, rich, clueless males who come into my class. These are the same kids who cry about their grades because they didn't think they'd really have to read and study the material to get a good grade. His parents ultimately are to blame for his growing up thinking he could get away with whatever he wanted. Maybe in the U.S., where young, white, rich, clueless, white males routinely get away with raping women.
This is the worst eulogy ever.
Not so much in North Korea. And of course, it's Otto's parents who will pay the price for the rest of their lives.
Jesus.
When the post came to light, she was flooded with comments calling for her termination, and They have, of course, since parted ways.
Good, because this is a racist. I don't care what color her skin is. This is a racist person who's taken a tragedy, given some sort of spin on race, and is, I'm assuming, poisoning whatever students she had or has. There was an article. Now, this is before Warmbier died. This is just when he was...
being held.
The trial had went down, the trial, yeah. And he got 15 years of hard labor, and there was this chicken HuffPo, presumably a woman of color, who said, now you get to see what I feel like every day when I leave the house. Like, okay, look, here's all I'm saying. You can't do anything with tweets. Does HuffPo not have editors? Like, I get when people go, well, that's her opinion. I know, but if it's insane,
right?
If it's an insane opinion, doesn't have to, it doesn't have to be cheesecloth. It could be screens with gaping 6-inch holes in it where cod could go without touching a scale on each side of this screen. But some filter at HuffPo, like when you see this article. I don't know if you have it. You can read it. But it's insane. It's insane. And these people, you know, they go, well, she's a journalist who has her opinion. No, she's not. She's not entitled to that. Or she needs to be stripped as whatever this journalist quote-unquote thing is. Because it's insane.
But we all have a right to an opinion. We don't all have a right to have it published and put out there.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead. Just me and you. I agree. And Nick Santora. You probably know him.
I've said, living 15 years performing manual labor in North Korea is unimaginable, but so is going to a place I know I'm unwelcome and violating their laws. I'm a black woman, though. The hopeless fear Warmbier is now experiencing is my daily reality living in a country where white men like him are willfully oblivious to my suffering, even as they are complicit in maintaining the power structures which ensure their supremacy at my expense. He is now an outsider at the mercy of a government unfazed by his cries for help. I get it.
Jesus Christ.
What happened? Is there nobody who has a desk where you have to lay this trash on it, who has to give it just a cursory look and go, sorry, queen of nut jobs, we can't print this. Now it doesn't make sense. And by the way, we're going to do you a huge favor and not print this. Because if something happens to this kid, this is going to look horrible.
Now that Otto's been, let's just say, tortured to death, most likely what happened to him, does that not have to happen to this writer? So she's drawing parallels.
Brian,
you know?
Please.
Every day, living in America as a woman of color. Please,
it's no different than what she goes through.
And by the
way,
let me explain something. Nobody's listening anymore because of this kind of hyperbole. That's the problem. You've successfully gotten everyone not to listen because of your crazed assertions. Crazed. And as I always like to say, never been a better time to be an actual racist.
Hiding among the...
We're all racist. Yeah. Like, for the actual racist, never been a better time. Never. We are... I mean, those guys are really...
it's real what salad we, for them.
Sorry, them. That's right. Salad for them.
Yep.
That's
for
right.
You and me.
That's right. All right. One more.
All right. Well, Charlie Sheen is effectively pawning his most prized possession, a World Series ring that once belonged to Babe Ruth.
I heard about this.
Yes. The ring is valued at more than $2 million. It honors the New York Yankees' victory in 1927, the World Series. Sheen placed it on auction, which closes...
Hold on. I'm gonna play my mom in this news story.
It closes today.
How could a ring be worth $2 million? It's a ring. It goes on your finger. Not
a historical significance.
Who needs? Why do you need a ring that Babe Ruth formerly... Yeah, I don't know. Why do you need more than one bathroom in your house?
Exactly.
Jesus Christ.
You just made a point.
Yeah.
And Babe Ruth, a white male, heterosexual male, he hits a round ball with a stick. And he gets millions. He gets more than school teachers make for hitting a ball with a stick. Do you think that's fair? Do you think that's right?
Put it that way. Yeah.
Who needs to hit a ball with a stick? Yeah. We need school teachers.
Yeah,
he would get paid more than a whole classroom filled with school teachers for simply hitting a ball with a stick.
I thought about that one.
Mm.
think my car's on fire. It's been okay. Lovely seeing you.
Thank you for that.
I love this picture. Charlie Sheen's wearing the ring. Yeah, like out in public.
So bids have only reached about a half a million, and it's about allegedly a $2 million ring. A friend revealed that Charlie always swore he'd never sell Babe Ruth's ring, but since confirming his HIV status, Sheen's been a little short on cash.
Gotta get that AZT.
This friend claimed, quote, Charlie is so down on his luck and flat broke that he has lowered himself to making appearances at the Wizard World shows, which fans attend to get celebrity autographs. It's just like a Comic-Con just for, you know, people on TV. And you
buy that ring, your very next purchase. Forgot the name of what I was going to say. You know what I was going to say? Purell.
Yeah, that's probably smart.
Oh, yeah.
You want to clean that thing up. That's been inside a lot of a goddess's.
Wipe that thing off.
That ring. Yeah.
I've seen a lot. If this ring can talk.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Drew called a fomite. It carries.
Right.
It carries things. I want to know what this thing's going to go for.
It's got a value in and of itself just because it's gold and diamonds, right? I mean, like, beyond the fact that it's Babe Ruth and
it's Murderer's
Row.
It's not Babe Ruth's. It's not Babe Ruth's World Series ring anymore. It's Charlie Sheen's Babe Ruth World. You know,
Charlie Sheen's finger banging ring.
Well, he's a pretty notable
Lothario.
Oh, you think it'll up the price?
Look, I got to tell you, man, it's all about a story. It's really about a story. I was sitting in here, I was doing my CarCast show, and I was with J.R. Granatelli's. Andy Granatelli. We're talking about Andy Granatelli before. Andy Granatelli. Dawson knows him because he's the Grand Marshal at the Avocado Festival. At least he was. This guy was basically P.T. Barnum for cars. He invented something called tune-up masters. They sold it for kajillions of dollars. He had these turbine-powered STP Indy cars and blah, blah, blah. And I said, what's one of them's valued at like $26 million, one of these cars. I said, there are other cars like Dan Gurney cars from that era who ran at Indy that were like successful and they're worth a couple hundred thousand bucks. Why is this one? He's like, the story. He built the story up. Mm. Everyone knows the story. And it's kind of that way with
Charlie
this.
Charlie Sheen could add to the
with
whole
this, because,
gestalt.
Well, you think about it this way. It's a piece of metal in a circle. Now I'm sounding like my mom. But it doesn't have a ton of inherent value. It's the story. So if a guy who was the bullpen catcher wore it and the world, and he knew Babe Ruth, then we don't, the story's not, it's the same thing. Nope. It's not, the story's a little bit different. And Charlie Sheen just adds to the story.
I feel like some people would skip that part. But I do understand. I understand he's famous and it's a.
Well, after he dies, and like we do with all the, I don't know, the crazy, you know, there's been many infamous whoever, you know, I think it'll add to it.
I agree.
I think it'll add to it.
And on a side note, and I could be totally wrong here, weren't the 27 Yankees supposed to be like the best baseball team in history?
Ever.
Murderer's Row. Yeah. Lou Gehrig.
But I'm from New England. I'm still bitter.
All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad!
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Simply Safe. You take precautions every day. Put your phone in a case. You have your identity theft protection. But what about your home and family? Simply Safe. That's where they come in. No hassle. You just order online. Completely wireless system. Comes pre-programmed to work right out of the box. Install it yourself in under an hour. No activation fees, holes in your walls, or exposed wires. Super easy, man. Round the clock, professional monitoring with emergency dispatch. Only $14.99 with no long-term lock-in contracts. So what do? You want to save some money? You want to save some time? Let's get going on this. Simply Safe Adam. S-I-M-P-L-I Safe Adam. Go there. Get 10% off. That's right, simplysafeadam.com. Get 10% off when you order today. Let's get going. Get the thing snapped up in like half an hour. Batteries last up to 10 years. No pulling wires, no nothing. It is simplysafeadam.com. All right, if you'd like to come out and find out wherever we are, playing live shows, doing cruises, all the good stuff, go to adamcarolla.com. Go to nosafespaces.com. Say hi to me and Dennis Prager over there. Reasonable Doubt. We're doing a town hall with me and Mark Gargis. That's coming up Thursday, July 20th. That's at his restaurant, Tenny, at downtown Mediterranean Food. And tapas, very fun, very cool place. Don Winslow, The Force. It's a novel. It's available now on Amazon. Why don't you just go ahead and click to our site and bookmark us, get Don's book, and spread the good juju around. Enlightening, Don Winslow. I really appreciate you coming by.
Thanks for having me. I enjoyed it.
I love a little sensible talk. So, till next time, Adam Kroll for Don Winslow, Gina Grad, and Bald Ryan saying mahalo.
Chip, 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 or chip.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail if you like. The phone number is 888-634-1744. Gina Grad is on the radio weekday mornings at 100.3 The Sound in Los Angeles, California. And if you do, buy a ticket to the town hall meeting with Mark Garagus and Adam Carolla. Your ticket will include a free download of the audiobook, Mistrial. Tickets and info on all the live podcasts, including the Carolla Cruise in November, Mangry events, books and movies, and more. Go to adamcarolla.com.